You're listening to Two Guys, One Album with music insiders Michael Heidemann and Paul Farva.
We are two music experts.
I mean, experts is pushing it.
Taking on the greatest albums of all time.
It's a little subjective.
Song by song with careful analysis.
All right, I wouldn't say careful. Look, we're having fun with the songs.
Two Guys,
One Album.
It's that time again. Time for another episode of Two Guys,
One Album.
That is right. We are back in action after a week off. It's great to see you again, Paul. How's it going, man?
It's going well, Michael. I'm really excited to do another album with you. This one was your choice. I want to make that clear.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Make it absolutely clear. And I stand by this album through and through. You know, Paul, there's a lot of great bands out there, especially in the world today. And this is one of the best ones that there is. This is The Strokes. The album is called Is This It? If you can tell by the opening song here on the album.
I respect and appreciate the band so much, but I never really got into them, to be honest with you. I think like that was the era of time when I was just really into singer-songwriters that were a little more sissy, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. But I did appreciate some of their songs later, and after reading the book, Meet Me in the Bathroom, which is a lot of it was about them and their start, I got into them. But to be honest with you, I've never listened to this album all the way through, even though I owned a copy of the CD for some reason.
So, you've never heard this whole album before?
I have not. This is going to be my virgin ears, so I'm going to be listening for the first time, which I think will be good.
Wow. Well, you know, it's funny you mention that, because the fact that you were listening to more sissier bands, when this band broke on the stage, they were kind of like putting a slash through what was going on in music at the time, because this is an album that's fully in this canned kind of microphone-y, staticky vocals all the way through, and they kind of put a spin on rock and roll and turned into a lot of bands that kind of that New York hipster kind of vibe came to be.
They started that New York vibe. I mean, a lot of bands after them, they developed or they did a lot of things that opened the door for the bands like Kings of Leon and The Killers, which are both some of my favorite bands. Mm-hmm. So I do appreciate everything they've done, and I do love the hits that I do know, but the deep cuts on this album, I'm going to be listening for the first time with a lot of you people out there.
I'm sure that a lot of people haven't heard these, because, you know, last night was the big chart topper.
We'll get to that.
And I'm excited to get to that. That was a great song, and it blew away a lot of people. And this was when MTV was at its downcline, and mm-hmm. or the decline, and I think
downcline.
Whatever, Klein.
That's. I feel like we're on an elliptical machine.
Maybe Calvin Klein is on the elliptical.
Oh,
jeez.
Dear Lord.
Oh, this is off
but
to
yeah,
a bad start.
They didn't have the benefit of MTV, although MTV did support them a little bit, right?
Yeah. It was at kind of the peak, but nearing the end of TRL with Carson Daly. I remember there was a lot of chart-topping hits. A lot of Strokes fans happening through there, and they were from New York, so this got a lot of airplay. Just a little background, Is This It is the debut studio album by the American rock band The Strokes. It was recorded at Transportarium in New York City with producer Gordon Raphael. Do you know Gordon?
I don't know him personally, no.
Oh, he seems like a nice guy. This is a good album. It was released on July 30th, 2001. It kind of broke them to be. I mean, the fact that they kind of became the Beatles of New York, I guess I could put it. And I'm speaking very loquaciously, but I mean that in the most generic sense.
No, they were in the aughts, they were the band that created the sound and created the New York status band, whatever you want to call it, that opened the door for a lot of these bands. Mm-hmm. And this was the album that put them on the charts.
Absolutely. Do you want to get to song number two?
Yeah, first let's talk about Is This It. That's the song that we're listening to, right?
Yes.
I do know that song, but it never charted, right? It was just there. We always talk about how to start an album. Mm-hmm. And this is a pretty good song to start, but it doesn't, you know, it's no Guns N' Roses or
no, it doesn't kick you right in the crotch or something like that.
doesn't kick you at all.
It kind of just eases you into a slow lullaby.
It's like it gives you a sense of what's to come, I believe. But I don't know what's to come because I don't know the deep cuts.
It could be all Guns N' Roses covers for all you know. That's what it could be.
I would be very happy with that.
You know what? It's funny because that opening song, it just starts off and you're like, wow, this band is already too cool for me. I can't even take it.
I mean, they go right into it. The song starts almost after like one or two beats, it's already vocals start right away.
Mm-hmm,
But
I like the spinning of the record track too, like spindle.
Up top.
Yes. And just going into hearing those canned vocals and then thinking that they're gonna switch and then they just go all the way through it. It sets a nice bed to the rest of the album. Let's go to song number two though, which is The Modern Age. And I'm gonna get right to it right here. I love that billowing bass that just kind of just drives you in
there.
Kind
of reminds me of The Police, but I really like this song. I've never heard it. I already like it.
The vocals kick in, and they have that great driving beat, which is found through a lot of their songs.
The guitars are awesome. Albert Hammond is one of the greatest guitarists. I know you just met him.
Yes.
So...
met Albert Hammond for the first time when he was playing at South by Southwest in 2013, and he put on an amazing show. And then, lo and behold, I see him again in 2018 at South by Southwest, and I get to speak to him person to person. I got to tell you, though, I did stray away from the Strokes questions, though, with Albert, because I think that they're a little touchy when it comes to that group. And I don't know why. It's such a great band. What I would talk about that nonstop.
Friends. Yeah, I think they're still cordial, right?
Yeah. So we got, and speaking of that bass is Nikolai Fratiur. I'm saying his name so wrong, and I'm sorry, Nikolai. I know it's Nikolai, so we got
He's
that right.
For sure.
They have the coolest names in this band, by the way. Julian Casablancas is the lead singer.
Yes.
Guitarist Nick Valenci, who started a new project called Sierra X, which is amazing. You should go and check that out. They put out an album, which was produced by Josh Homme of Queens of the
Stone Age.
And the drummer is Fabrizio Moretti.
Who dated Drew Barrymore.
He did?
Know that. Yeah, that's... Come on, man. Even I knew that. He was... if you got to read the book. You got to read the book, Meet Me in the Bathroom. But even before I read the book, I knew that's how he and Drew Barrymore were.
Are you jealous? Is that why you just threw your pen across the studio?
No, I didn't. I'm not.
Are we going back to the Adam Duritz jealousy string? Did they hang out together in the same
God
group?
God damn it. No. he's definitely no Adam Duritz in terms of... women successes, for lack of a better word, famous women conquests.
Okay,
I don't know if you can say that.
He didn't date all the friends, but he did date one of the Charlie's Angels.
Yes, that's a win in my book. But I, you know, she's whatever. We're not talking about Drew Barrymore today. But I did see them in concert, and I do remember that I was looking to see because I had VIP tickets, and I wanted to see if she was backstage, and she wasn't.
Oh,
or maybe she was, but I didn't get to see her. But also, that was one of the concerts where I was the most intoxicated I've ever been in my life. So
is that why? That's why you don't know the full album too.
Well, I went to see. I believe they were playing with Fiona Apple at what is now the First Amphitheater. It was an outdoor concert. It was probably 2004 when they first started, and I used to book the bands on the side stage. So we had VIP tickets, and I had just won a trial, like a big jury trial. I was a lawyer back then, full time.
Nice.
And I got blackout drunk to celebrate with my friend. I went to see Fiona Apple. I believe they were the other band, but I can't remember. But I know that was the main band I saw, and the Strokes were on that bill. But if you remember that concert, and if I'm wrong, please email us at twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. But I'm pretty sure that was it. But I do remember looking for Drew Barrymore backstage, and I did not see her.
Oh, darn. By the way, we got an email now.
Oh, yeah. We have our email account is up and running. Twoguysonealbum@gmail.com.
Were we supposed to say that together?
No. Okay. I just want to make sure I didn't say something weird, like two guys, one cup or something weird, which has nothing to do with
nothing
this,
at all. Nothing at all. We got the next song going on here. It's called Soma. So let's take a listen to that.
Soma is what they would take when hard times open their Paul.
Not a fan. I don't like the vocals canned like that. I really liked Modern Age. I almost want to hear that song again. But that the song, does it change at all? Does it?
Yeah.
What's going to happen next? Stop. Sounds like that guitar's out of tune.
They get a little angrier at the end, too. Soma, which, by the way, if you didn't know what it was, it's the parts of an organism other than the reproductive cells. It's a part of the body as a distinct being from the soul, the mind, or psyche. So,
is that right?
Yeah, that's I'm looking it up on, unless the dictionary lies.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I've heard Soma in a bar called Soma Lounge.
Yeah, so it just must be a cool
sexual
way to be.
Statement. Typical.
And it just, you know, it just kind of goes into this, but it's very weird because I mentioned the Beatles before, and I know people get so angry because it's such like a pejorative word now just to say anything is like the Beatles. But they have that great structure of song that it's like goes right into the melody, kicks with that just it's just the driving beat that goes all the way through.
Keep it playing. It's here in the background. Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's just, it's very, very simplistic, and I think that that's what draws people to this band, because it was just, it was so cool, and then they progressed so much more throughout the rest of their albums, under the cover of Darkness, and with Julian's vocals changing a little bit, and you can hear that chirpy little guitar that they have in the back, too, that kind of signified their sound, with Albert Hammond playing the rhythm guitar, and then, what's his face?
Nick Valenci?
Nick Valenci playing that cool solo part, just of just chirpy upper upper neck of the guitar. And I love it. I love this sound.
Song?
This whole album
this
sounds amazing. I was going to
like
say, the reason I was made, now I'm going back to it, the reason it reminded me of the Beatles is because it seems like an album that you can listen to all the way through and then not get sick of.
Thus far, I disagree with you, but let's see. Maybe it was just a one song that I didn't like. Let's hear what the next one is. Barely Legal.
Just the way
that's
Paul
the
likes
song.
It. So this is it.
See, I like this already. I've never heard this song.
Never.
Again, I don't like the canned vocals here.
Well, you got to take yourself back to 2001 for a second, Paul, because think about an album that came out and no one sounded like this. Nobody did these canned vocals.
And they were hipsters, too. They wore those skinny jeans for the first time.
They wore the tightest jeans in all of history. In fact, they were painted on most of the time. And their hair was so cool, it like just went in front of their face.
They were fashionistas.
No smiles ever and sunglasses. I love that look. So this is Barely Legal. Let me see if we've got any info on the rest of the album. It's
and another thing, you know, and I've talked about this before. I'm a big vocals, lyrics, and vocal sound. I like the sounds of good vocals, and I like the good lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
The lyrics don't move me here, but I also, is that my chair making them moist?
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it was me.
We just had a boom in the studio, and I was
it's my chair. I also don't like the can. I mean, maybe the reason why I liked that Modern Age song was because it was the only one that wasn't really canned vocals as much. But
yeah.
So far, Barely Legal is barely interesting to me.
Paul, do you want to know what the Strokes' favorite foods are?
No. What are they? Ramen noodles?
I'm thinking, okay, Julian Casablancas, the lead singer of the Strokes, what do you think his favorite dish is?
Something vegan.
Oof, close. Lasagna.
Oh,
it could be
dear
vegan.
Lord.
Well, Nick enjoys a juicy pineapple.
Oh, dear.
Albert prefers what?
Watermelon.
Actually,
coconut. Kiwi.
The Japanese BBQ favorite, kushiyaki.
Oh, dear God.
And the rest of the band is less picky. the Fab group claims to enjoy a hearty feast of food and water. Well, Nikolai, my man.
We've become a fanzine. What's your favorite color? What's his favorite color?
Doesn't say what his favorite color, but I'm guessing teal.
Teal is probably a good guess.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess that as well. Yeah, Barely Legal doesn't cut it for me. I'm going to say pass on that song.
You're going to do a pass?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Barely Legal, Julian Casablancas is actually known to frequent many strip clubs, or at least he used to maybe in his more wild days, but he doesn't really like them. His first experience was actually in 2002. Oh, so maybe after this album came out, and it disturbed him so that once he got home, he had to beat off twice.
You know, his dad is the he started the whole modeling company. right?
Really?
Yeah, Casablancas. His dad is a... It's, that's why they got so big, because they would have all these hot models at their shows.
Oh.
And you know, they obviously liked the music too, but he had the connections because his dad was like the modeling agency guy.
You are so right. John Casablancas?
Yeah.
Yeah, he... Oh, my gosh.
So that's
it's
why he doesn't like
Julie.
Strip shows, because he was surrounded by beautiful models his whole life.
Wow. Julian Casablancas also has a brother named Fernando.
Makes sense.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's just... We digress enough. That's very interesting. And by the way, all these facts that I'm saying are not coming from my mind. They're from the website NME.com. So if anything is not true, don't blame me. Blame that website.
Yeah.
Let's go on to the next song.
Someday
here.
Is next, which is... I know this song. This was a hit. This was their second hit, right?
Yeah, because I remember, you're exactly right, because I remember seeing this music video after Last Night, which right. was in this vein of like late night talk show kind of Johnny Carson style. And then Someday, I can't remember what the music video was like. Please write us at our new email and tell me what it was all about. I guess I could.
Yeah, this was a song that, you know, it didn't. I don't understand why this was the second release. I didn't like it as much as Last Night, and I was like, eh. I mean, it's not, the vocals aren't as canned as the rest of them. I think they're a little upfront, a little more than the other songs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still like, I don't, there's no hook in this song, really, to me.
Oh, have you heard the song? You've heard it all the
I
way
have
through.
I have.
The hook is right at that pre-chorus coming up right here.
Yeah, that's like the recovery. The resolve, if you will.
Okay.
I don't like the song.
Ah, man. Takes me back. Again, all of these albums that we've been listening to from the early 2000s and mid-2000s.
These are your glory days.
These are my glory days. It all reminds me of just driving to high school with my brother in the side seat and us just being super late to Marian Catholic in Woodstock. And my brother being like, we're going to be late again. And I'm like, chill, man.
I just pictured you guys in a motorcycle with a sidecar. And like, you guys had some weird helmets and you're just going to school. Like, why is everyone looking at us? That's how I pictured you right now with your brother.
I wish, blasting the Strokes, we'd be the two coolest guys in school. Except that wasn't what it was like. It was more like a Ford Taurus. Beige.
Ew.
All right, so let's go to the next one. This is Alone Together.
I'd have never heard this song.
No choice now. You can definitely see the consistency of these songs. Paul, what do you think about when you listen to these songs? Like, what place does it take you to in your mind?
I didn't have a connection to these songs. What I do see, though, in listening to them now, after I already got into The Killers, is you can see where, you know, and the book kind of talks about this too. I know I talk about that book a lot, but it really does show what Brandon Flowers did. He took their music to a new level and just made them more poppy and more acceptable. Mm-hmm. And like, this is the structure he used. He probably went, I'm going to do these and make them more poppy.
Yeah.
These songs aren't poppy, and I don't think they wanted to be poppy. Julian made a point that he didn't want to be poppy, but they're not poppy, and they're not good. I know this.
Tell us how you really feel.
I'm gonna get some hate mail. It's fine. It's just my thoughts. I like them. I think they did their part for music, but this song doesn't do. So far, the only song I liked is The Modern Age.
You know, you can tell that this is a good middle of the album song too,
because
it's just like the quirky kind of more rockabilly song. It's the same kind of structure that we've been seeing with Appetite for Destruction. They kind of slam.
Those songs are phenomenal. But every song on that album and every album, this one is not on that. Not even close.
You know what? If anybody out there is listening right now who thinks, Michael, what are you talking about? You compare this band to the Beatles and Appetite for Destruction. Just, you know, write us and then I will be glad to
explain
what I'm talking about.
But the thing is this is a song that you, this album will play in the background when you have to like do a term paper.
Yes.
Or like you're just like whatever, what is it the kids do now? They're creating websites and all kinds of weird stuff. They're updating your Facebook. Yeah. This is a good background coding album. It doesn't make you move or anything, and then maybe like one or two songs will be like, I'm gonna take a break and really enjoy this song.
Yeah.
Not this song.
Yeah.
But maybe the next one.
Well, the next song is the best song to do that too. It's Last Night. Their one smash hit that just broke them through in the homes of all the boys and girls.
Mostly girls.
Mostly girls. MTV skyrocketed them with this fantastic, fantastic beat. One of my favorite songs growing up, and I think I listened to this song more than probably I did my homework in high school.
I gotta give them credit. I mean, it's a cool song and it's a great original sound. It's definitely not one of my favorite songs, but I do appreciate the song for what it is. It's got hooks, it's catchy, but it doesn't do anything to me.
Mm-hmm. You know, at the one time, this album was considered by the magazine, The Observer, as a world-changing moment. Its impact was immediate and dramatic on music and attire because everyone wanted to look like them. Everyone wanted to sound like them.
Yeah.
And to be honest, that's so true because when I first heard Last Night, I got my guitar and I wanted to learn how to play it. This was one of the first songs that I learned. It was between this and Blink-182's Dude Ranch that I was trying to learn. But I remember trying to find this.
And then you went to Urban Outfitters and got some skinny jeans.
Oh, there was nothing but skinny jeans. It was,
and you got like the shirt and the jean jackets that they wore.
I wanted to wear the vest that they used to wear.
Yeah, okay.
The like kind of like Indian kind of look.
Indian.
Yeah, it was like this great like tan hide vest that I think that they would wear back in the day. It was fantastic
clothes. But yeah, that's a great song, and they get credit for that. Although I do still like the modern age song better, to tell me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But I do appreciate that song and what it did for music in the aughts, and they should get credit for that.
Yeah, it's number 10 in U.S. top vinyl sales.
And that skinny tie, they brought that back too.
Oh, the skinny tie.
We forgot about that. They and Converse, I believe, was part of their image.
Oh, yeah. They had the look, they had it all, because they had cool names, they were cool guys, this was an awesome song. And I remember I couldn't figure out how they made that great like 60s guitar sound of that ting ting ting. The way that they used their amplifiers and everything was just it was instrumental in the way that people saw music, because we turned from what bands were hot and in the early 2000s, Britney Spears and all this great, NSYNC was at its all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
And then this friggin' gritty rock band pulls through.
They did bring rock back to the table in terms of pop culture and pop music. But again,
Paul, you know
fight
what?
Me.
You are hard to explain. This is the
Which
next
is
song.
Which is the next song? This is a cool song already. I never heard it.
You've never heard this song before?
But then the canned vocals are going to probably ruin it for me.
And the interesting thing is the lyrics are so simple and so easy.
Which I don't like. I like complex vocals. Ah, there's the canned voice again.
But listen how he's belting out those vocals, unlike all the other songs. This is kind of like their ballad almost, you could say. You know who I feel bad for in this band? The bassist and the drummer. Just keeping dun 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 dun.
Yeah, they're like role players. But that's an important part. You know, when we listened to Cranberries way back when,
mm-hmm.
the guitarist did simple stuff. It was just the vocals were front and center because mm-hmm. Dolores O'Riordan was
yeah.
the main thing. This is just, they're just trying to create catchy songs. And mm-hmm. this is a catchy song. I like this song too.
Speaking
this is
of
one of the songs,
this is a great song. Speaking of Dolores O'Riordan, I saw this amazing band at South by Southwest. Everyone should go check out this great band called Kitten. They did a cover of the Cranberries.
Yeah, you sent me that.
It was one of the greatest covers I've ever seen of that song. I mean, well, I don't want to put your band to shame, but they were pretty good. What was your band called again?
Which one?
The one that did all the Cranberry
Shoe Shine
covers?
Boy.
Oh, yes. Shoe Shine Boy.
How can you forget?
I see that every single day. Yeah, so this is a great song. Go check out Kitten if you want to see them play a great cover of Dolores O'Riordan's Cranberries.
So we're approaching a controversial point in this album,
mm-hmm.
which is the number 9 on the album.
Number 9?
What happened here? So when it started is on the U.S. version of the CD, and then New York City Cops was on the U.K. version. Mm-hmm. And I think it had to do with 9/11, right? Or something to do with that?
Yes, that is correct. That was... You forget about how chilling of a time 2001 was, too, because that's when 9/11 happened. I mean, I remember the immense wave of songs and censorship that happened on the radio. The song... Sugar Cult. Sugar Cult was about to be a huge pop punk band, and their greatest song was it was about blowing up your neighborhood. And before September 2001, it was a great pop song. No one ever thought that it had any kind of nefarious connotations. And then 2001 September happened, and they needed to change all the vocals. That band fell out of existence, and it didn't get to be the song that they wanted it to be. But yeah, that was the... Explain. So here we go. The song.
So which version are we going to play? The UK version for our UK fans, or what song is next?
Let's play New York City Cops because we are talking about it so much. Let's check it out here. All right, so this song was originally on the album, like you mentioned, but removed after September 11th because the line, New York City Cops ain't too smart. And during the time when we're trying to be, when we were patriotic, and we still are patriotic, it wasn't the kind of message that the label wanted to put out there, to be honest. It's interesting to see the memories of hearing these albums and thinking that there was a time when record labels really took heart into what their musicians were putting out.
Yeah.
And now a lot of people are putting out their own music. Nobody really minds as much. All right, let's blow through that song real
fast. So when it started was the one what was that song? I'm confused.
So that was New York City Cops.
That's not on the version that you buy in the U.S.
No, that was not on the U.S. version.
And When It Started was.
When It Started was, and this is When It Started.
Okay.
Yes, I remember. See, I remember this.
Now this is a cool song.
I remember. There was one time we were in high school. We were allowed to play music when we were working out in the gym because we had a gym class which was just weightlifting, and it was what all the seniors took to get out of gym class, and you could just show up late, and everyone got a chance to put on their own album, and every week it was the popular kids who put on rap albums. It was always rap. Ludacris this, Ludacris that. Not Ludacris that day. But I remember I would put on The Strokes every week, and everyone would be like, what the hell is this? And they'd boo me. And they wouldn't be able to get their workout on because
they
this music
hit
was
their
too relaxed.
Peak.
Yes.
And then the teams would all lose that week because of The Strokes. Which is consistent with their anti-establishment brand.
Yes. Can we just talk about the band name real quick, too? The Strokes? When the first time you heard that band name, what were your thoughts?
Well, I thought, yeah, it was kind of a weird name. And it's kind of hard to Google, too, as you pointed out before.
Yes. I was trying to find some info on this, and I needed to look up at our company's computer. And let's just say you don't want to look up random stroke facts before you look up this album. Is that the last song on the album?
No, sir.
What's the last one?
We've got more. Well, we've got Trying Your Luck.
Okay.
Is number 10.
So this next song is another good one. And if you want to... Oh, wait, we're not supposed to talk about when we recorded. I was going to make a St. Patrick's Day reference, but I can't.
No, you could say it. Trying Your Luck.
Yeah.
What's your St. Patty's reference?
It was just about trying your luck and that being the next song.
Because of the Irish?
Luck of the Irish.
Gotcha.
And Luck of the Strokes.
No, that makes sense. See, this is a cool song.
Yes.
I already like it. This is what the problem is. I'm like, all right, I can get into this. I like it. It's catchy. It's got a nice beat. It's got a hook. And then his voice just kills it for me. You've seen it all before, I know.
It's just the connection of Albert Hammond Jr. and Nick Valenti creating that great tapestry of guitar parts. It really just drives the song. And then you don't need a lot of bass and drums. You don't need any fancy fills or anything
when you got that great tone. Yeah, I agree with you. The guitar structures are really cool, and I like the intricacy of the two guitars playing. All that stuff's awesome. But I honestly, if the vocals are not there for me, I lose interest. Unless they're singing some cool shit.
Yeah.
But that's not happening here.
That's actually a familiar argument that is made with Julian Casablancas' side project band, The Voids, that you can't hear. If you don't like these canned vocals, if you listen to The Voids, especially their first album, that was him singing in a garbage can, basically.
I think that would be better. At least there'll be an echo chamber. But yeah, that song is cool. I again, the vocals kill me, and a lot of these songs are starting to sound redundant, like my criticisms. So now we're on the last song.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it, and this is a song you like.
Yeah. You know what, Paul? You can take it or leave it, because this is a great song, great album, and here we go.
This is a great song. I do know this song.
Mm-hmm.
See?
That repetitive, chirpy guitar sound comes in again.
Everything's going really good. And then his vocals come and ruin it.
But listen to how that bass just builds that vocals. If you don't like the canned vocals here.
I like it here because
it builds
the bass muffles it.
And then here it comes, screaming vocals.
Oh, God. It's trying to be the Clash here. If you want to hear someone screaming vocals with some echoes, listen to Combat Rock by The Clash, 1983. Now, that's some... God, I sound like an old fuck.
No, not at all.
But
you sound like you know what you're talking about.
I was born in 83. But I can't get into this album, man. I'm gonna say I do appreciate the Strokes for what they did for music in that period, and this album especially. They deserve all the credit and accolades they get, especially for what they brought to the sound of the era, the New York scene, and being on the forefront, the grandfathers, if you will, of the New York sound in the 2000s. But you know, they're just kind of like they set the pace for everything, but they just weren't as good as the Killers and Kings of Leon, who came after them, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's kind of like when your little brother acts like you, and you're like, you're acting like me. He's like, you're acting like me, and you're like, no, you're acting like me because I came first.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to say that.
Walter Payton had an older brother who played football too, and he played football because of his brother. But Walter Payton was clearly better. Michael Jordan had a brother who played basketball, but clearly Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time. This is the same thing.
Hey, do not get down on Ronaldo Jordan. He was good too.
It's not Ronaldo. You're just making up names. And I don't know if he's an older brother. I do know Walter Payton's brother was older, but or maybe shit. I don't know. But I know he wasn't as good. And the Strokes are that. Without them, there would be no Killers, there would be no Kings of Leon, there would be no Vampire Weekend, all those great bands who I like a lot more. But we've come to the point where we have to give the ratings, right?
Yes,
Michael?
This is everyone's favorite part of the show when Paul gets the shit on whatever album we're listening to.
That's not true. You should. I'm just more.
I already know you're gonna go into how you're gonna say that this is the Dave Payton of albums. And
Dave Payton.
That was his brother.
No,
I'm just making that up. We're not anything but accurate on this podcast.
We are nothing if we're not accurate. That's our saying. But
yes,
I'm going to say, since our rating system is based on 11 on the Facebook, because at 11, that's when you can't see the names of who liked your stuff.
Yes.
I'm going to give this 3 likes.
Wow.
3 thumbs down. An emoji with sunglasses because
okay.
they're cool and hip.
And
the emoji with those skinny jeans.
Oh. This is your lowest rating yet.
Lowest rating of all the albums we've
You
had.
Even gave Kanye more than
I liked Kanye. I just didn't like certain... I didn't like
you
the
You didn't like the
skits.
Bits.
Yeah.
Like
let the comedians do that shit, man.
If you want to hear a great podcast, not to toot our own horn, but the hearing Paul talk about those skits was probably my favorite moment on this podcast so far. Okay, three likes. Wow.
Three likes. Well, three thumbs down. Yeah, three likes. I mean, ultimately, it's 3 out of 11. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm giving this album.
Mm-hmm.
Three and a half.
We were talking about this before the podcast. They put out a lot of great albums.
Yes.
In fact, I found that they kind of matured in their sound, and the more that I would listen to the Strokes, I got into them more so in the later albums than this album. But this was the original. This was the creme de la creme, the numero uno. I love Albert Hammond Jr.'s guitar. I love Julian Casablancas' singing. I'm going to give this 7 likes. I'm gonna pair you up with Double Sunglasses.
Oh.
Lady Dancing.
Lady Dancing. What's the relevance? Oh, because they have models.
Models dancing, of course. You know.
Yeah.
And I think I'm gonna also just hug my keyboard. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna hug it gently.
7 likes.
Yes.
That's consistent with what I would expect from you on this.
Yeah, because I think I gave Weezer pretty high marks, Blink-182, Kanye. 7, I'm not gonna run out to see to get this album one more time or listen to it anytime soon. I do love this album, and if a song is on, especially when I'm working out or something, I'll keep it on. But yeah, 7 likes.
Humble brag. Especially when I'm working out, which is 3 times a day. Yeah, I got you, Michael. All right. Well, we've concluded the Strokes. We've done our part for the millennial generation, mm-hmm. or the Generation Wires.
Is not a millennial album. 2001 is the millennials.
I know.
There is kids that were like listening to Bieber and X.
That's true. This is Generation Wires.
Okay.
That's what we'll call it.
Yes.
That's your generation.
That's true.
You're on the cusp. Okay. Well, that's a wrap, you guys.
Yeah.
Please. Also, we have our. If you have albums you want us to review, please email us at twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. That's the number 2 and the number 1. Twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. That's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. Yeah, it was fun. I like shitting on bands, even though I like them. I don't know why I do it, but I feel like you're too positive, so I have to negate that.
Yeah. I was trying not to be a stroke, as they say.
Hey.
This was fun. Email us. Check us out. Paul, do you have any last words to the crowd?
No. Follow me check out my website, Paul F. Comedy. My name is Paul Farvar.
And this is Michael Heidemann. You can check me out at michaelheidemann.com. Good luck with spelling that. And until then, this is Two Guys,
One Album.